You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as we look ahead to one of the most exciting events on the European Tour calendar, the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. That comes after Mark Leishman claimed the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour with a narrow one-shot win at Bay Hill.
It's a huge honour to win this event on a year when we're honouring such a great man and the first year after his passing. And, you know, it's sad not to have him up there walking off the 18th green. He's left such a great legacy and I'm sure he'd be proud of how everything has gone. It's been an unbelievable week for me.
We'll review events in Florida and look back on the first senior tour event of the season in Sharjah, speaking exclusively to the winner, Chris Williams. Plus, Henrik Stenson tells us how he's preparing for the Masters, which is just a few weeks away. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and this week I'm pleased to be joined by Paul Eales. Paul, how are you?
I'm in great shape. Dan, a little tired, but no problems.
Yes, and you're tired because you are literally just back from playing on the European Senior Tour in the UAE, the Sharjah Senior Golf Masters, presented by Shahrukh. How did you get on and how was the journey back?
The journey back was delayed. We had a problem with a British Airways captain, but that's another story. I played okay. It wasn't my week on the greens, but it was a fantastic week. Weather, you know, the hospitality that we had in the golf course, wow, for nine holes, brilliant.
So, as mentioned, it was the inaugural Sharjah Senior Golf Masters presented by Shahrukh at Sharjah Golf and Shooting Club in the UAE, and South African Chris Williams finished on top after beating Gary Marks in a playoff, and I'm delighted to say that we can hear from Chris right now. Chris, first of all, many congratulations. Great playing over the course of the week.
Hi, Dan. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was tremendous victory for me. It's been a long time, I think about 7 years if memory serves me correctly. So I'm very pleased to have won another tournament at, one could say, a latter stage of the senior tour.
What were your expectations going into the week? Were you confident of a good display?
Yes, I was, primarily because I'd played a few pro-ams in South Africa leading up to it, 1 days and 2 day pro-ams, but I played in as many pro-ams as I could to put a scorecard in my back pocket. And I was trying to treat them each round as if it was a tournament round on the tour. And my scoring was fantastic. I mean, I've been playing tremendous golf in South Africa here. So when I went to Sharjah there, I had a good feeling about my game.
And you were at the top of the leaderboard for most of the week, but then it always comes down to that back nine on the final days. Just talk us through those last few holes, how you were going head-to-head with Gary. What happened there?
You know, it's not easy to close out. It's one of the toughest things in golf is to close out a tournament. Gary Marks came back strong, made 3 birdies in a row. James Kingston made 2 birdies on the back nine. It got a little bit tight. I underclubbed on the 16th and left myself with a very delicate chip shot. And chipped it up to 6 foot, just short of the pin, about 7 o'clock to the hole with a downhill left to right, and knocked that putt in. So that was probably one of the more important putts on that 18 hole.
What are your plans now for the immediate future over the next few weeks and months, and indeed for 2017?
I am crossing thumbs and hoping that I will crack an invite into the USPGA. I wrote for one, and David McLaren is going to add his name to the request. I'm hoping I'll get into the PGA as well.
Well, we hope that we see you there. Great playing over the course of the week out in the Middle East. Congratulations once again, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Thank you very much.
So many thanks to Chris Williams, the winner of the Sharjah Senior Golf Masters presented by Shahrukh. It was his first title since the 2011 Aberdeen Brunei Senior Masters. It was the first time in 17 years that a European Senior Tour event has been played in the UAE. Paul, obviously we were talking with Chris just a few moments ago. What did you make of it overall? Was it a good experience for you?
It really was. I mean, as Chris said, everything about it was great. The facilities, the condition, how we were looked after over there, the transportation to the food that we had. It really was a tremendous week. And with us having a smaller field, 57, we could comfortably all get round the nine holes. Obviously, it was split into two sections. One would play early, one would play later. But what was really interesting, on the Pro-Am days, they put the floodlights on. So they played sort of nine holes-ish in daylight, and then the floodlights came on sort of circa 6:30 in the evening, And that was a different experience for a lot of the guys.
Yeah, quite spectacular when you see golf courses lit up like that. From your own personal point of view, how did you play? Where did you finish?
Well, it started well. I had a birdie-birdie start, and then I put one in the water on the fourth, and it was a real struggle after that. And I finished at one under for the event, but it was a frustrating week for me.
Obviously, we have a number of Race 2 Dubai co-presenters in the form of Jamie Spence and Gordon Brand Jr., who also played. Jamie tied 11th, 6-under. Gordon was tied 23rd at 2-under, just one stroke better than your good self. Jamie, whenever he rocks up, he seems to be in good form in these events.
He does. He's a great player. He says he's too busy. He's got lots of caps that Jamie wears, but when he gets out there, he gets his mind in and that old the old juices start to flow, and he plays really well.
Let's remind everyone of the top 10 from the Sharjah Senior Golf Masters presented by Shahrukh.
OK, tied 8th were Santiago Luna, Steen Tinning and Stephen Dodd. In 7th was Andre Bosser. In 6th was our senior Open champion Paul Broadhurst. 5th was Roger Chapman, a double major winner on the senior tour. Tied 3rd, James Kingston and Magnus Atlevi. 2nd in a playoff was Gary Marks, and our winner was Chris Williams.
Well, before we look ahead to the WGC Dell Technologies match play, we must discuss the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill this past week. It was the first time the event has taken place since the King passed away last September. Speaking before the event, Rory McIlroy paid tribute to one of golf's true greats.
I think Arnold meant an awful lot to every one of us. You know, anyone that is involved with the game of golf in any capacity, especially the ones that get paid to play it or get paid to write about it or get paid to whatever. I mean, he was a massive part of that, and I think we all owe him a massive debt of gratitude for what he did for the game.
And it was strange not to see him there, wasn't it, Paul?
Yes, it was. And it's not just the players that owe a debt of gratitude to Arnold. I think it's the legacy that he leaves with the hospitals and the charitable stuff that goes on in his name. And that will continue. So we won't be able to really judge how massive Arnold Palmer is in the game of golf for many years to come, I don't think.
Yeah, and the players on duty certainly served up some fitting drama. Australian Mark Leishman finished on top, winning by one stroke, thanks largely to a superb 50-foot eagle putt on the 16th. Leishman finished one shot clear of the American pair and final round leaders Charlie Hoffman and Kevin Kisner. Rory McIlroy finished a further shot adrift after a great weekend. A bogey on the 72nd, Paul, put paid to his chances of victory. But I think all in all, Rory can feel fairly pleased about how his preparations are going for the Masters.
Yeah, no question about that. Rory doesn't play for anything other than a win, and he got himself into a great position, but then obviously that Leishman eagle went in on the 16th and Rory's on the 18th, so he has to try and make birdie. Races his first putt back, misses three putts, and there's a bogey in a tied fourth. Most players would be delighted. Rory, oh well, take it on the chin and move on.
And one on Mark Leishman, pleased for him. He has won some big events over the last couple of years, but this undoubtedly his biggest win, and he's come close in majors as well.
Yes, he has. He's been a good player for a long time. Came through the Web.com Tour. He had a win there in 2008. He's played over 200 events on the PGA Tour, so an experienced guy. Won the Travelers in 2012, I believe. So, you know, winning is not a stranger to him. He won the Ned Bank on the European Tour in 2015, I think it was. So for that eagle and then to finish par on that golf course, which is a demanding par finish, every congratulations to him.
Let's hear from the new champion Mark Leishman, who was humbled to win such a prestigious event.
It's a huge honour to win this event, you know, especially on a year when we're honouring such a great man, and you know, the first year after his passing. And you know, it's sad not to have him up there walking off the 18th green, to be that first guy to walk off and not be greeted by Arnold Palmer. But you know, he's left such a great legacy, and I'm sure he'd be proud of how everything's gone this week. The course was unbelievable, crowds were amazing, weather was perfect. It's just it's been an unbelievable week for me to win with Audrey and my boys there. It's just so special to have you know, have your two kids and wife run out onto that green. I wasn't quite sure if I'd won then or not. I knew I was a pretty good chance, but it's very special, especially after everything we've gone through.
Yeah, he's just touched upon the fact that his wife was very ill recently, and obviously things like that put golf into perspective and make successes like this even more special, as he suggested.
Yeah, very much so. Close-knit family, and she was encouraging him to continue playing, so she was supporting him while she was going through the troubles. But obviously, they've fortunately, they both come through, and it was a fantastic win and a fitting winner for Arnold Palmer as well, I would think, Mark Leishman.
Second PGA Tour win, qualifies for the Masters, qualifies for the President's Cup team as well. Other notables, and from a European point of view, it was a decent event. We've mentioned Rory. Tyrrell Hatton was tied fourth, 9 under par. Eduardo Molinari tied seventh, 7 under. Tommy Fleetwood tied 10th, 6 under. And Messrs Fitzpatrick and Rose tied 13th at 4 under. Whole group of players that perform well at Arnie's Place.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Matt Fitzpatrick was at the top of the leaderboard from day one, and it was good experience for him to be around, and I'm sure he'll be disappointed, but great for Tommy Fleetwood to come back with another fantastic performance there. Tyrrell Hatton, he keeps going from strength to strength, doesn't he? And birdied that 18th. Oh, how Rory wish he'd have had that birdie.
Mentioned a fair few Englishmen there who are just off the pace when it comes to the top 10 in the world. We need the top 10, although it should be pointed out that the likes of Fitzpatrick and Rose and Hatton are just behind the top 10 at the moment. But give us the top 10 as it stands.
The top 10 is Sergio in at number 10. Number 9, Ricky Fowler. Number 8, Adam Scott. 7 is Justin Thomas. 6 is Jordan Spieth. 5, Henrik Stenson. 4th, Hideki Matsuyama. 3rd, Jason Day. 2nd is Rory McIlroy, and our number 1 world-ranked player is Dustin Johnson.
Well, the next event on the European Tour is the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play at Austin Country Club in Texas. Jason Day won here last year, beating Louis Oosthuizen in the final. Obviously, it's a match play event, Paul, but tell us a bit more about the format and what the players can expect this week, because it's changed over the years. It's not just straight knockout, is
it? Yeah, they run with it. Obviously, match play is match play, so it's head-to-head, one player against another. But they're split up into, I think, 16 groups of 4. So they play a, sort of a round robin, and then they qualify and go into straight knockout then. So it's not as though you just have one round that week and then you pack your bags. You can have three games, I think it is, isn't it? And then it's into the knockout stages, so...
Yeah, I think it's a better format, isn't it, now? Because you could play well, but just come up against someone enjoying an even hotter streak and go out on the first day, whereas the current format means that you've got an opportunity still to make it through to the business end.
Yeah, and I think more importantly for the world golf fans, that they want to see the top players playing more than just one round. I remember back at the World Match Play, Tiger losing in the first round, and that was him gone for the week. So you've got a chance to see the guys over the first 3 days before it really gets into the business end of the week.
How will the players' mindset differ for this event with it not being a regular stroke play tournament?
Yeah, it's pretty much sudden death, isn't it? 18 holes. The guys are used to playing 72 holes where a big number can really end your week. Whereas this, it doesn't really matter. You take an 8 on a hole, you're only going to lose one hole. So they'll be a lot more aggressive in the way they're taking on shots. Depends how the course is set up. Hopefully the greens won't be too firm. They'll be nice and soft, and we can see lots of birdies, lots of eagles winning and halving holes. Course looks fantastic, and I'm sure, as every week, it will be in great condition.
And relatively short, well, definitely short in terms of the modern game, just over 7,000 yards. Does that negate those that knock it miles off the tee?
Not particularly. It all depends how it's going to play. If they've had a wet spell down there and everything's sticking, then obviously it's going to play longer. But I think if there's a bit of wind blowing down there and the fairways are firm, then, you know, a little bit more skill may just come into it. And how the PGA Tour have set it up, I'm not sure. Hopefully there's not too much rough too close to the playing surfaces, because I like to see these guys trying to knock balls out and bend them round. I mean, the one in Mexico was fantastic to see some of the recovery shots, wasn't it?
It was indeed. What's the key attribute, do you think, to be a very good match player?
You need a poker face, I think. No, don't let anything get to you, but get your ball in play. But of course, as you have to every week, if you're going to win, you're going to have to putt well. And it can be the point where the guy, you look like you're going to win a hole and the guy locks a bomb in from 50 feet and suddenly you've lost the hole and whatever. So there's a lot of that to it, but it always offers up exciting matches.
One or two of the top players aren't playing this week. Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott. But aside from that, it is a very, very good field. And obviously, we've got the world number one playing. It's a terrific tournament for golf fans to watch, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I can understand why Henrik maybe isn't playing from a little bit of injury. It's a big week for the guys. I think on the semi-final and final days, the last 2 days, they might have to play 36 holes or more in a day. So, you know, add that to the first 3 days that they've played. So there's a lot of golf to be played there. So I can understand Henrik's not been feeling particularly well, why he might miss. They can't play every week, but it's amazing how all the top players played all these WGCs a number of years ago, and now some of them avoiding them.
I always think that Europeans should do better in events like this because we've got more of a tradition of match play. So when we get our boys going over and playing in competitions like this, I'm always expectant that a Sergio Garcia is going to play well, that a Tyrrell Hatton is going to play well, that a Rory McIlroy is going to play well. Is that true, or do you think the Americans have caught up a little bit when it comes to the match play?
No, I think it's a difficult thing. We play more match play as amateurs in the UK and Europe than the Americans do. They're very much structured for tournament golf medal play. But I think the experiences that our younger lads have had going over there now, they're not frightened of it all. And you can see the way Tyrrell Hatton's performed, the way Paul Casey, I know he lives over there, a bit more experienced now, has performed. Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick leading events now, whereas before we would always look at the boys down at the bottom. Now they're actually up there contending. And of course, Rory leading the way for the Europeans.
Pick out one or two Americans that are playing this week that you're looking forward to seeing.
Well, Bubba Watson, always look forward to seeing him, whether he's got his head on to play in some of the wild and wacky shapes that he hits. Phil Mickelson's in the field. He could go really well because Phil, you know, he can pull shots out that nobody's expecting. So he'd be a difficult character. Matt Kuch is always nice and steady, isn't he? And then, of course, we've seen the lads that have played in the Ryder Cup come through and play. And so it's a difficult one. You've got Justin Thomas in there now who's been winning. Jordan Spieth, as we say, in the field. So many great players.
Obviously, Fantasy Race to Dubai players will be looking for six players to go to war with this week. Just pick us out a couple that you think will go well, maybe one European and one non-European.
Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy's played really well the last couple of weeks. He's not frightened. He's well-versed in match play. He was a great amateur over here a number of years ago. Well, he was a top amateur in the world. So I'll go for Tommy from the Europeans. And I can't look really past Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, every week he plays, he looks so strong. Those are my two to be looking out for.
Okay, and you're the man to ask at the moment because you top our mini league at the minute. So watch out for pool selections, Fleetwood and Matsuyama. I was going to go for McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, but I can't back both of the favourites. So I'll go Rory and I'll go a little bit further down the list when it comes to the Americans. I'm hopeful that Justin Thomas will play well. I'm not going too far down.
He's won three times this year.
I'm not taking too much of a chance. Remember to keep an eye on europeantour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. No European Tour event last week, Paul, but just remind us of the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings heading into this week's event.
Okay, then we got in 10th place, Bernd Wiesberger. Sam Brazel is number 9. John Rahm in at 8. David Lipsky is 7th. Yung-Hung Wang is 6th. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is number 5. Ross Fisher is 4. Sergio Garcia is 3rd. Fabrizio Zanotti is 2. And our Race to Dubai leader at the moment is Tommy Fleetwood.
We're a quarter of the way through this season's Race to Dubai, Paul. What's been the standout moment for you?
Well, I think because I'm a Lancashire lad, Tommy Fleetwood's win in Abu Dhabi stands out for me. Tommy's been a great player for a long time, went back to his old coach after not messing around, but exploring different avenues. He seems settled now. He got a good friend of his, Ian Finnis, is a big Everton fan, caddying for him. So the atmosphere there between those two, they're having a lot of fun out there. And it really is fantastic to see Tommy come through and win that particular week because he is one of the most favourite boys out on the tour. Everybody loves him.
Well, the fact that spring is upon us can only mean one thing, and that's that the Masters is not too far away. Paul, a lot has been made about players' preparations for Augusta. Some like to do things differently to others. What do you think is the ideal preparation for the first major of the year?
Well, it's so difficult for me. I've never been in that situation. But I think, certainly from my experience of playing in open championships, you can overhype the fact that you're playing in a major championship. And I think the guys that come in on a bit of a roll that have played one or two weeks and without being disrespectful, thinking this is just another week, possibly have a better chance. But some will take the week off, some will get there early, have a look at it. But it's relatively, well, it is unique, isn't it, August? We've seen it on the TV, the greens. It's not the longest of golf courses, but how it's set up changes from day to day. So it's a difficult one to actually say I can prepare for Augusta.
Well, that was the question that we put to one man who knows just what it takes to prepare for a major tournament and win, Open champion Henrik Stenson.
I think it's a combination on that subject. I think you got to give yourself at least what you believe are the best circumstances. And as always, if you want to play well at a certain time, you've got to put the work and the effort in at an earlier stage. When the time to perform comes, you know, the time for preparations are over. So it's you got to do the work sometime. It's more figuring out when is the right time for you and how are you going to, you know, how much are you going to play and rest in the lead up. But I can never guarantee that I'm going to play well at a certain week and peak at a certain week. Not so much maybe with a game. It's probably more mentally. You can try and give yourself the right ingredients, and if you really want something, you're gonna aim for that, and that's gonna be in the back of your mind over a long period of time. And when you finally get there, I think if you really want it, that kind of mental preparation in the lead up is gonna help you for that.
Just over 3 weeks away until we get underway at Augusta, 6th to the 9th of April. Henrik Stenson obviously has got a big chance. You feel that it sets up well for him.
Yes, it does. But, you know, all the top players, we could go through them all, couldn't we? From your Bubbas to your Dustin Johnson. Phil Mickelson again. Lee Westwood always plays well around Augusta. He's going to be there or thereabouts. It's really difficult to call, isn't it? And then, of course, if we get some bad weather that they can have down in Georgia there, that can play a big part in it. But to me, it's always fascinating. If the guys shoot low on the first day, then you know that the powers that be are going to tweak something on the golf course and make it really from days difficult in days two and three.
It seems to me that it's horses for courses every single year. And this can even apply to the likes of Bernhard Langer, the likes of Angel Cabrera, who have always played well there. And it doesn't matter that they're a year older. They always seem to be top 25. They always seem to make the cut. Obviously, Danny Willett won last year. Is he in the right type of form to go in again, do you think?
It doesn't look it, does it, on paper? Danny's really, he seems to be struggling with his game, not sure what's going on. It came out of the blue almost, didn't it, that he won the Masters last year and he will be defending. There'll be a lot going on for him this time. Hopefully he makes the cut and has a good run at it.
Mark Leishman might fancy his chances, played well before. We won't hold you to it, but a long-term tip for us for the Masters. You can change your mind a little bit closer to the event, but who'd you like at this stage?
Well, obviously, I would go for a European. Henrik would be great for me. Rory, of course, to knock them all off then he'll have done them all. But, you know, I keep going back. Major Championship, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, those guys are always figuring. And at one point, they're going to just get the green jacket, aren't they?
Well, we can't wait for the Masters. And, of course, you will get a full, comprehensive preview from us on the Race to Dubai show. Elsewhere, a quick word on the Challenge Tour's Road to Oman, which gets underway with the Barclays Kenya Open this week. The Challenge Tour will consist of 27 events in 21 countries over three continents this season. And, Paul, we've seen some brilliant players come off the Challenge Tour, some major winners, of course. It's a fantastic feeder tour, isn't it, for the European Tour and, indeed, for the majors?
Yeah, a feeder tour, developmental tour, I've heard them all, but it is a tour in its own right. These guys are real quality players. They're going to shoot low scores. They're going to have to do it week in, week out. We know there's not a lot of money around, but it's really exciting to see where our next major winners are coming from, because in the Challenge Tour, we're probably going to find some.
To other news now, and the European Tour is delighted to announce that the annual Players Player of the Year Award has been renamed the Seve Ballesteros Award. The award is voted for by every European Tour member at the end of a season and will now carry the name of the legendary Spaniard. The first recipient is Henrik Stenson, who was the overwhelming winner of the 2016 vote by his fellow professionals at the end of a season, which saw him claim his first major title at the Open Championship at Royal Troon, as well as win the Race to Dubai for the second time in four seasons. No doubt he's a worthy winner, and that last day at the Open will live long in the memory.
Yes, it will. I mean, I was fortunate to walk round and watch Henrik and Phil go head-to-head, and I don't think golf has been played like that in that circumstance before. Even the Jack and Watson going back to Turnberry in 77, I think they both said no. What Henrik and Phil did on that final day at Troon has never been seen before.
And a real nice touch to rename the award the Seve Ballesteros Award, I'm presuming a player that you played with.
Yes, played with Seve many times. He was a great man. He was a fierce, fierce competitor, but he was always there to listen and to help. He was a brilliant guy.
Back with Stenson, and the Swede will make his first appearance on UK soil since lifting the claret jug when he returns to the 2017 BMW PGA Championship, the first tournament in the European Tour's new Rolex series at Wentworth Club in May. And we are pleased to announce that you can hear live radio coverage of all 4 days via europeantour.com or via the European Tour app. Also confirming their appearances, but at a different event, are Padraig Harrington and Shane Lowry. The Irish duo have signed up to play the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation at Port Stewart Golf Club in July. And finally, Verdura Resort at the Rocco Forte Hotel in Sicily is preparing to host a European Tour tournament after the award-winning golf and spa resort was selected to stage the Rocco Forte Open in May, taking place a week before the BMW PGA Championship. The tournament is set to feature some of the top-ranked players in Europe as they put the finishing touches to their preparations for the season ahead in Europe. Paul, I'm not quite sure if you've ever played there, but certainly the Italian galleries over the course of the last few years, they come out in their numbers. They really enjoy their golf.
Yes, they do, and they support really well. And I've never played down in Sicily, a new golf course here. The resort, the pitches look absolutely stunning. So the players are in for a treat when they go down there.
Well, that wraps it up for today. Next week, we'll look back on events in Austin at the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Paul Eales...
Bye, everybody!
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.